Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited to just mull over this topic with you. We're going to be talking about how effort is the price of success. And I'm somewhat conflicted about this. I think it is going to be a little bit of a rambly episode. So if you don't want that, then feel free to check out. I will not judge you. But I wanted to address how much sacrifice and how much effort is actually required to succeed. Because as much as I'd love things to all be tiny habits, which they are, like everything comes back to that. And I talked about at the start of the year, my word was mediocre, which means that I don't want to get caught in this trap of all in or all out thinking. If I can't go to the gym or I don't want to go to the gym, I'm just not going to go and I'm going to sit and eat popcorn and binge watch Netflix. Instead, go and do one exercise, do one set, walk through the door, have some kind of minimum requirement in order to be continually making progress. So with all of that, like that's awesome, that's amazing. But exceptional results, exceptional things do require effort. They do require sacrifice. And most of the time it's much, much more than we think possible. That almost anything good, this is a universal law or principle, I should say, maybe not law, that good things do tend to take effort and sacrifice. Having children, right? It's incredibly rewarding. It's beautiful. It's really flipping hard. Good marriages, they take work. It's not to say that it should feel difficult, but there are going to be some sacrifices in there to make those work over the long term and keep them sweet. Learning a skill set, getting in shape, all of those things require us to rise above our impulses and who we were to have a new way of operating. So this episode is really for the two types of people. And I think we're all these kinds of people at different stages or in different areas of our lives. But the first one is for people who are feeling the difficulty of losing weight, feeling some kind of discouragement, and resetting expectations of what it should look like, what it will feel like in order to be able to keep going and to keep seeing results. The second group is for people who are used to getting out the door, doing some of the things that you've been doing, that you've seen some results, you're on that journey, like you've made changes, you've made progress, you've done some hard things, and you're at a point where maybe you've gotten a little bit complacent. Maybe you're plateauing in different areas, whether that is the weight loss or at the gym or whatever. Because obviously all these concepts can be applied to everything. But obviously, yeah, let's do the weight loss. This is what this podcast is about. But if that's you, then we're going to be talking about really pushing it to that next level and what that looks like and some of the things to be aware of as you become greater, as you succeed even more. And the reason I've been thinking about the effort required to succeed is that I feel a lot like I've been kind of half-assing a lot of things. I feel like I've gotten comfortable and complacent in different areas of my life due to the fact that I'm not training for anything right now. I'm not running really. I don't have like a running challenge, which I've done at different parts. I'm not like actively trying. I am trying to get stronger in the gym, but prior to probably about 2 months ago, I wasn't really doing much. I was just kind of showing up a little bit. And I'm at a kind of a point in terms of what we're doing with Lean with Plants and content, where it's a lot more comfortable than it's been at any other point. And really that just means that I've gotten a bit complacent, and I'm trying to get into things, and I'm getting back into doing the podcast. And for a short period of time, I really just needed to get things done. I needed to get a YouTube video out because I hadn't created content for a while, and I'd been so focused on other things that I'd let that drop. And now that I'm getting into creating consistent content again, I've been feeling this sense of, oh, I just want to get it done. Like, I'm just going to write a quick outline and do a quick podcast, or I'm going to just sit down and do a video, and I'm not really going to think about it too hard, and I'm just going to get it out there. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't get me to that next level. It kind of just like maintains something. Like, if you're not really growing, like, can you actually stay still? Like, this is the question. There's this quote from someone that I really look up to, admire in business, and this phrase is grow or die, which might sound like really crazy to some people, but it is very hard to stay still. It is hard to stay kind of stagnant, or if we do stay still, we do kind of tend to stagnate. We're designed to be moving in one direction or another. Like, everything within our lives is moving. Like, we're constantly aging, we've got entropy, we've got like the earth is rolling around the sun, all of these things. We're kind of in this constant motion, so it is very hard for us to stay still. And those two little revelations that I had was, the first one was that complacency and like a little bit of apathy there and comfort and kind of just doing the bare minimum was meaning that I didn't have much motivation, because it was just kind of enough to show up and do the job and then leave. It's kind of like working at like a really mediocre job, and like you just have to kind of do your time, you count down the hours, and then you leave. And that's pretty much how I was feeling. That's a very, very hard thing to do for a sustained period of time, especially if you have to self-motivate, which we do. If you work for yourself, if you have to resist chips or stay consistent with your diet, go to the gym, like, no one's really forcing you to do those things most of the time. So there's a huge level where we have to not so much keep motivation, but we have to have something that is propelling us forward, or that we are running from. The second thing is that I have been thinking about how different my life would be if I was in a different environment. And as a lot of people know, I'd love to move from New Zealand, and I think that will happen at some point. There's a lot of things that I don't love, especially this time of year, the fact that it's very difficult to get produce, and I don't I feel like I'm being challenged in this place, and I don't like the rain. I want to be able to skate. I've been telling myself probably for the past month that if I lived somewhere else, and if things were different, and if I had a different shops that I could go to, more produce, all of these things, then I would be different. That I would be leaner, that I would be better at skating, that I would be pushing myself more. And I've been kind of fixated on an environment which right now I don't have the ability to change. Well, I do have the ability to change it. It's a choice not to. I'm not up and leaving right now to go somewhere else. And so I've been giving my power to my environment. And when I realized this, I was like, oof, that's really not good. And so environment, as I've talked about many times, is the most important influencer of our behavior. And James Clear in his book Atomic Habits says that environment is the hidden hand that shapes human behavior. And so while that is the case, what I was doing was allowing my environment to become a crutch. And I was saying, I would be doing X if I lived here, or if my environment was different, I would be doing something differently. And whether that is true or not, here's the most important part. Whether that is true or not, if I want to be making progress, if I want something different from what I have now, if I want my life to change, then, and I'm making a choice not to change my environment, then something else is going to have to change. I can't continually be like, oh, well, if my environment was better, I'd be better. I want to be better, but I'm not changing my environment. Like we've kind of hit an impasse there where, and it's just, there's no way to go. Like there's nothing that you can, unless you change something, then nothing changes. And so I was realizing that I actually have to, if I want change within this current environment, then I'm going to really have to change my behavior. I'm going to have to change the way that I think about this. I'm going to have to change my proactivity to get out and do things regardless of the circumstances that I'm in. And really, like, that's what empowered people do. When they can't or they don't change their circumstances, right then and there, they change their results in terms of they change their reactions. And this was the biggest takeaway that I had from reading Viktor Frankl in his book Man's Search for Meaning. And he was in concentration camps in Nazi Germany as a prisoner. And he realized that the only thing that the Nazis couldn't take away from him was his ability to respond. And that was true human freedom. That everything else, your circumstances, your environment, the people that you love, like everything in the peripheral can change. People can hurt your body, all of these different things. The only thing that you have 100% control over is how you choose to respond. That is your freedom and that is your power. No one can take that away. You give that away. You give that power away. And I was giving that power away and I have been. And the reason for that is that I am truly scared of effort. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think it's important to recognize it because it's an innate human quality or survival mechanism where we do the bare minimum that we need to survive. And so it's really important to understand this is not a character flaw. It's just something inbuilt in us so that we innovate, because you think about any kind of technology, it's all there to help us live easier, quicker, more comfortable lives. It's all there to help us to just like preserve our lives and live longer and more comfortable. So any kind of innovation comes from this idea that we want to avoid pain. So that's not bad. But the problem is that if we are not avoiding any short-term pain by not doing anything that's uncomfortable, then we risk and we get into long-term, acute, very, very difficult pain because we didn't plan for that. That almost all long-term payoffs require short-term sacrifices and short-term effort. And that's the part that's really difficult. Especially when you don't feel like you have a strong motivation because you can be a bit more comfortable. And most of us don't have huge driving forces that people hundreds of years ago did, where it was if you didn't work your hardest, if you didn't go and do this, then you would be dead. Like most of us don't have that in the same way. And there's this really interesting study that was done just looking at motivation. And this is not for humans, this was on mice, I'm pretty sure. And basically they got mice or rats to move towards the smell of cheese. Well, I think it was like they basically trained them to pull on a rope. I'm butchering this, but it was something to this effect. You'll get the idea. And so when they smelt cheese, they would pull on the rope. Like it was an indication of how motivated they were. You know what the crazy thing was? That when there was the smell of a cat as well introduced, they actually pulled harder. The result of that being that motivation was actually stronger when there was a negative pain that the mice were trying to run from. That we're not just motivated by what we're wanting to gain, that we're actually motivated by pain avoidance. Like it's huge. This fascinates me a lot because I know a lot of people have talked about like the pleasure trap and Doug Lyle, which is a book that I really like and that I totally respect. And there's a lot that we can learn from like the research on human motivators and pleasure and pain and all these things. But in saying that, we're learning, the more that we learn about human motivation, the more that scientists are realizing, we're more influenced by pain avoidance than anything else. That even wanting to get towards pleasure is mostly motivated by trying to avoid pain, which you, when you think about it, it makes sense. Because anytime you get a craving for something, James Clear talks about this in the four stages of building a habit. So we get a cue and then we get a craving because we saw something that we were lacking. We now want that thing. And then we get a, we respond in some way and then we get some kind of reward. And that's how our brain learns to form habits. So we have to have a sense of lack to then go towards the thing that is going to satisfy that. If we are 100% satisfied all the time, we would never have any motivation or any desire to change that, even if there was something positive to move towards. So we're always operating out of the sense of lack and then wanting to change that in some way. Oh, I'm realized that I'm burgerless. I realize that I'm really wanting an ice cream right now. Therefore, I have to satisfy that desire. It's not even the fact that it will be pleasurable. It's that you feel pain because you're not experiencing that, which is kind of wild. It's really interesting. Where this matters to me is resetting my expectation of what is painful, which sounds kind of crazy, and then thinking about where I want to be if I continue on the path that I am, or where I will be if I continue where I am. What do I actually want, and what is genuinely more painful? Because at the moment, if I continue on just half-assing things and like the mediocre effort that I'm putting in, that actually gets more and more painful because I'm doing this drudgery without seeing a whole lot of results for it. And I will be losing motivation. That feels increasingly more and more difficult. And not only that, is if I look at like 10 years out and I'm nowhere where I want to be because I haven't grown, and I've gone backwards actually, because again, like most of the time if we're not actually growing, we do tend to go backwards. Law of entropy, all that stuff. That's actually really painful. It's really painful for me to think about, well, what if I just stay where I am? What if I don't ever progress? What if this was it? That's not fun. So it's less about the cheese for me. It's less about moving towards that than it is about, okay, there's a cat behind. I can smell it. And it's really, really not pleasant. So short-term pain is worth it in terms of the long run. When it comes to resetting expectations, this is another thing that is helping me now, is that it doesn't have to feel easy. That it kind of should be somewhat hard. Like there are some things that should take a lot of effort, and that's also okay. Because if I'm scared of pain, right? But then it's like when you actually look at that and you go, well, am I really scared of pain, or is it just effort? I don't want to have that other outcome, because that other outcome, like staying comfortable, not moving forward, not progressing, that feels much, much more scary to me. So when I really examine it and I get really clear and I go, well, what am I actually afraid of in the moment that's stopping me? It's feeling a little bit of discomfort in the moment. That's actually not all that bad, especially when I am able to reset that from the point of view that's actually normal. That it's normal for that to feel hard. It's normal that if we're denying ourselves, if we're pushing ourselves, that it's going to be difficult. It should feel a little bit like that. Because if it was easy, like everyone would be doing it. I heard the stat which blew me out of the water was that most podcasts, I think it was 90% of podcasts, never get past 3 episodes. And the remaining, there's only, of the remaining like 10%, there was something crazy, like there was only like 3% more. I'm probably butchering this, but there was only like 3% more who made it past 25 episodes. Isn't that wild? Like just making it, so if you just made it, if you started a podcast and you just made it to 25 episodes, you would be in the top elite 1% of podcasters simply by putting in that amount of effort over 25 episodes. That's not a huge amount of effort. in saying that, it's a whole lot more effort than most people are willing to put in. And so most people do not have a podcast. It's actually not that difficult, but it does require some kind of effort. There is some kind of pain. There's that fear of failure. There's all these different things. And so when it's the same kind of thing when it comes to losing weight, most people are not living in a body with habits that they really, really love. Most people aren't, because their environment is not conducive to that, because we are hardwired to choose comfort. And so if you are going against that, if you are saying, you know what, I am going to stop looking at my short-term comfort, to stop being controlled by my impulses and what feels good in the moment, and I'm going to instead think about where I want to be 5 years from now and the kind of person that I want to be, that is going against the grain. You are swimming upstream. So automatically by doing that, you're in a new group of people, and it isn't going to be easy. And we're always looking for it to be so easy. And yeah, we want to make it as easy as it can possibly be, because it's still just a means to an end. It's still just a means to getting and staying lean. But it's going to feel hard. And I think there's a lot of comfort in that. I think there's a lot of comfort in realizing that anyone who is doing that and doing that well is going through something similar. I look at people like Keisha, who is in our program and has lost, she's lost over 70 pounds now. And the amount of effort and consistency required to lose that much weight is phenomenal. There is no quick fix to that. There is no pill that you can take. It takes significant, consistent effort. And people look at that and like, wow, like that's amazing. Like that's absolutely phenomenal. And it absolutely is. And no one who is looking from the outside can really, unless you've done it, can really comprehend how flipping hard that actually is and how much of an accomplishment that is to do that over years. I almost think we look at people and we look at the after and we see the just the tip of the iceberg where we go, oh, must be nice to have all of these results. And it's like, well, no, how many pounds of broccoli did I eat? How many millions of steps were actually taken? How many tears or how many times were sitting on the couch at night wanting to have dessert? How many times of having to pack food and be an inconvenience? And I was talking to someone about a month ago, and we were talking about going on holiday, and they were trying to stay consistent, they were trying to eat reasonably healthy while they're on holiday, and I was just asking some questions, and we were talking about looking up restaurants in the area. We were talking about Googling what supermarkets were going to be in the area, Googling what kind of produce was going to be available, asking the place where the person was staying if they had a microwave so that they could cook potatoes, basically doing the planning that was going to be necessary for them to get there and then stay consistent, because they would have planned it. And in this scenario, what I found really interesting was the further that we dug down into all of these little things that were going to be required to get the best possible outcome, to put in the most prep to ensure that this was going to go well and get to that goal, stay consistent, there was actually a significant amount of effort that was required. And what I realized as I was going through that was, now these are things that I've done for a long time just by default. They don't feel super difficult, but for a lot of people, that is that the barrier to getting to even ringing up a hotel and saying, hey, like, do you have a microwave that I can use? That felt like too much effort. And I was thinking I was like, this is what's required, because what's the alternative? Like, what's the alternative? You get there, there's nothing that you can eat. You get there, you've got no facilities to make a potato in the microwave. You get there, there's nothing that you would normally eat. And so, well, there's no vegan food. There's what are you going to do? And so personally, like, I'm looking up what are the supermarkets in my area? What is the produce that is available? What facilities am I going to have? What containers, what other kind of things do I need to bring with me? And it is quite a lot of effort. And so in that conversation, there wasn't really resolution to that. But what I personally walked away from is that there was an expectation that was different from the reality. There was an expectation that it wasn't going to be that hard, or it shouldn't be that hard. Whereas my expectation was it should be that hard, or that's okay. And so expectation is one of the biggest drivers of our happiness and our fulfillment. And if we expect that something is going to take a certain amount of effort or is going to give us a certain result, and then it falls short of that, not with the effort thing. But if we have an expectation and it's less than what we want it to be, then the result is worse, we're disappointed. If we have an expectation that things are going to be a certain way and then our expectations are exceeded, they are better than what we expect, then we're surprised and we're delighted. And so much of how hard something is determined, or how we view that is determined by our expectations of it. So if you have an expectation that you're going to need to have hard conversations, get food out of your environment, look and Google up recipes, spend an hour or so in prep every week, say no to people, be an inconvenience, have embarrassment. If your expectation is, I'm going to have to do absolutely everything, I am going to have to claw and scrape my way, it is going to feel so incredibly difficult. If that is your expectation, then anything below that is going to feel like a beautiful, wonderful surprise. Whereas if you think and expect it to be easy, anything over the norm is, or over and above, is going to be really difficult. It's like when I say to my kids, I'll be like, can you help us do the dishwasher or set the table or take some stuff out? And because they're children, instantly it's like, oh, this is so hard. Like, why are we your slaves? And like, well, my expectation is that we all do work together. My expectation is that when a dinner is cooked, it also has to get cleaned up from. So my husband and I, we just do it because that's our expectation. But for the kids, it's like they're not expecting that. They're not expecting that someone comes in and interrupts their play and asks them to work. They haven't realized that work is the cost of enjoyment. That we eat a great meal, we have to clean up from it. We have some amazing play and it's messy, we have to clean up from it. They're not there yet. And how many of us, self included, are kind of acting like children, where we're expecting things to be so light and easy, but then we're not. It's like we go to the meal and we're like, yum, that was amazing. And then we're like, what? The dishes need doing? That's too hard. That's not fair. Poor me. It's like, no, that's the price. That's the price of success. So for me, over the past week that I've been mulling this over in my head, it's been thinking about resetting my own expectations of what is required to succeed, what it's going to feel like. Because if I think a YouTube video, if I really want to do that well, I'm going to research all my titles. I am going to spend time taking notes, and that I'm going to watch videos on how to get better. I'm going to set up I'm going to film over a day, and then I'm going to add B-roll the next day. If my expectation is that it is going to take me a significant amount of time and effort and care and research to do that, when I actually have to do that, that's okay. That feels normal. That makes sense. It's just like, okay, yep, I got to just do the thing. I got to do the thing. But if my expectation is, oh, I have to do a YouTube video and I'm just going to go and everything up over and above just even doing it feels like a difficult, it is going to feel even more difficult. And the biggest thing with this, here's what I really want you to pay attention to, is that when we do half-ass things and when we do a mediocre job, then we actually feel less motivated because the reward is so much less. And you have that intrinsic reward that you get from knowing that you've done the best you can, knowing that you've done a good job, knowing that you've put in 100%. that you can get regardless of whether there's an external reward or not. You get that feeling of like, I did my best. But then you also do move closer to your goal and get the bigger payoff when you do that, which is really, really motivating. It's motivating when you put in effort consistently and you do a good job and you do the best and you know that you have pushed it the most you can and you get that payoff. That is incredibly satisfying. It spurs you on to do more. So in some ways, going along indefinitely, knowing that you are kind of just doing the bare minimum and then not really seeing the payoff for that, that is a recipe for burnout, or a recipe not so much for burnout but for losing motivation, because you're not actually seeing great results. You've probably heard me say in other episodes, do the minimum that you can in order to be successful when it comes to weight loss. Work smarter, not harder. Be 1% better. And that is 100% true, that nothing changes here. What is different in terms of looking at this is recognizing that sometimes one small step is going to be your best move. Sometimes just getting out the door is going to be the most difficult thing. Sometimes getting out the door for one person is going to be harder and require more effort and sacrifice than running a marathon for someone else, or for the same person at different stages of their journey. Sometimes just getting out of bed. But this is where it's super important that we're in touch with ourselves. That sounds super woo. That's where it's important that we're honest with ourselves about actually what is required and what resetting that idea of how things should feel. Because here's what I mean by that, and I'll just share myself, like, whether this is helpful. If this is helpful, use it. If it is not, disregard it. I've been telling myself a narrative over the past few months that because I have some crap in my life, with my husband having multiple sclerosis, running a business, mental health, all of these different things, I've been telling myself that my best is just coping. That has been my narrative for a while. And there are times when that is true. There is definitely be times where that is true. But that has been a crutch for me. And I know that I am capable of more. And I really believe that the reason I've been telling myself this is because I don't want to take responsibility. I want to have the bar lower because I don't want to experience failure if I don't hit a higher bar. And I also don't like the idea of exerting myself. I don't have as much of that feeling of needing to push anymore. And so it's like, well, I just don't want to do it. And so my best has not been my best. I have not been doing what I could have been doing. And this is the thing, is like, whether you are, whether you're not, it doesn't matter. Like, there's no innate benefit or, depends on who you talk to. But if you don't want to be better, you don't have to. Like, if you want to go along and not really see any changes, like, no one's forcing you to do that. Like, that's okay. Like, if your end goal is different. But for me, I'm like, I know that I'm happier. I know I'm more confident. I know I feel better. I know that I enjoy things more when I do push myself. So this narrative, true or not, has not been helping me. And I was having a conversation with Nick last night, and we have this game called We're Not Really Strangers, which is a great game. And it's basically you just ask questions. And so we use it as a conversation starter. And one of the questions was, what's something that you think I'm naturally good at that other people aren't? Or something like that. Anyway, Nick was talking about, or what's something that people think about you that is not actually true? And Nick was saying people think that he's responsible, but he's actually not. And I was like, Nick, please, like, you truly are really responsible. You get our kids ready for school every morning. You make sure that we get up. You get us to church. Like, you get groceries for us. You make sure that, like, our staff are paid. Like, you actually are really responsible. There are just a few things that you abdicate responsibility, which we all do. And I was like, you know what? I don't think that you're not responsible. I think you're incredibly responsible. But I think you're probably a bit like me, where you don't want to say that. You don't want to own that as an identity, because that would mean that more was required of you. I was like, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But I know it's true for me. That I like to tell myself things like, oh, you know, I'm just lazy and I just kind of procrastinate. And it's like, well, I've been telling myself that because it allows me to not feel like I'm not doing enough. I set my bar low so that I can walk over it. And then I'm like, yay, look at me. I'm a lazy person. I did one video, like, go me. It's like, just please. Like that, I'm selling myself short with that narrative. Like I am capable of so much more than that. And so how you speak to yourself and what you say to yourself, like, is hugely powerful. Actions are obviously more, but identity is huge in that. And I think what I'm realizing is that sometimes we just got to examine the way that we're talking to ourselves, the expectations that we have of ourselves and what we're doing there. Like, what's our motivation for that? And I know I'm in a space where I can be a little bit more comfortable. Part of me is just like, I want to be comfortable now because I know that things are going to be harder in the future. I know that there are hard times coming. So a part of me is like, oh, I just want to. And that may be okay. That's fine. But it isn't really giving me what I want. It's not helping me be happier. It's not making me feel like I'm, you know, getting closer to the kind of person I want to be. So regardless of whether those things are true, regardless of whether my life is going to get more difficult, whether I am capable of more or not, it's not a narrative that's helpful for myself to be saying, well, you know what, you're just lazy and kind of do the bare minimum. It puts a whole lot more pressure. This is where the cat comes in. It puts a whole lot more pressure on myself to be like, no, you are a badass. Like, you are someone who, you send it. You don't just do a podcast. You really write an outline. You really do your research. You don't just do a YouTube video. You make it work. You don't just eat like an okay kind of meal. Like, you do the best that you can. And so when we're coming back to these different stages, we just got to be honest. Like, are you doing the best that you can? Have you got this expectation that it should be easier and therefore the amount that you're doing is, you're like, well, you know, I'm doing enough. Are you doing the best you can, or are you just doing enough? Because if you're just doing enough, then maybe that's why you're not actually feeling that sense of motivation or getting the results that you want to. There's going to be those times where it is going to take everything in you just to eat the one cookie instead of five. But I know for me, it's like, no, I really could make a better decision than that. So first stage of anything is just do. Lower your action threshold in the beginning to make things easier so that you do them. This is things like getting to the gym, just walking in the front door, not having to do your exercise, just actually getting there, not having to eat a vegetable, but just cooking it up, just getting it ready, doing a little bit of prep. Making things as easy as possible so that you actually do them, because doing them is the hardest part and it always will. There does come a time, though, when we want to push more. And that's the second stage, when we're used to getting out the door. Or we know that we can make ourselves do that. And then it's push. Push. If you want exceptional results, in those moments that you can't push, just do. Like, always revert back to, well, what's the best that I can actually do? This is where this next best mindset that we use in the program is great, where it's like, well, what's the best that I could do? Okay, so I can't do that. That's actually not the best I can do. Well, what's the next best? You're still doing the best that you can do. It just looks different in different circumstances. So there's going to be days where you just get to the gym and you get there and you walk back out the door again. There's going to be days when you have a burger with broccoli on the side, but there's going to be other days where you can have a broccoli with potato. So only you can really decide that, but resetting your expectation of how it is going to feel, and that it is going to require significant effort, it makes those moments easier because it's normal. It normalizes them. The other thing is that doing more repetitions and pushing more consistently makes hard things easier because it becomes a new normal. Again, this is really just about setting those expectations. Because if you go, it's like when I'm running and I go and run every day, going out and running every day is just what I do. So if I normally go out and I run 5Ks and then 10Ks and then I do like a 20. If I have to go and run 2Ks, that's like, okay, that's easy. Because I've reset my expectations of what normal is and I've built routine around that. If I never run and then I have to go out and run 2Ks or I have to hit a walking goal, that feels really, really difficult because my expectation is totally different. So this is where repetition and pushing consistently can actually make things feel easier because our threshold for difficulty gets higher. I really noticed the benefits of this last night when I was at the gym and I was pushing myself and I said to Nick afterwards, I was like, I feel like I can push so much harder than I was a couple of months ago because I'm going so consistently now. I'm going 3 times a week consistently and I'm pushing myself when I'm there because I'm getting there. It's not just the get through the door now. It's like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to work out. And I'm already sore because I've been working out. I've already pushed it. So I'm like, well, you know what? This is just normal now. It's starting to feel more normal to actually push it. That's so exciting to me because I'm actually like, wow, I'm starting to see results now. But there was a period of time where it was just get through the door. So far we've talked about resetting expectations, realizing that things are going to be so much harder than we really think they are, that most of the time, and even if they're not, it's much better to have that view so that we can be surprised and delighted. So reset your expectations. Anything that you think you're going to do, go, okay, it's going to be, I'm 100% harder than that, 100 times harder than that. And then if it's easier, you're winning. And if it's hard, then it's just normal. We also talked about do first. Just get out the door, do the 1%, and then push. Do the best you can in every situation. The next part of this is recognizing that exceptional effort doesn't necessarily produce results. But exceptional effort is a character trait of successful people. And you become more mentally tough the more that you put in exceptional effort. So you are more likely to succeed. You're more likely to be the kind of person that succeeds if you're used to putting in exceptional effort, even if it is applied wrong. So this is where it's like, it's super important that we know where to put our efforts and we know where leverage is. In saying that though, there's still nothing negative about becoming someone who is good at putting in effort. Even if you're putting it in on the wrong places. In terms of results, not helpful. But that just means that you need to course correct. It's easier to course correct and then be able to fly than it is to go, well, I now have to actually build up a skill of putting in some kind of effort. So anytime that you're putting in effort, it's okay to be doing that even if you're not seeing like a ton of results or a ton of payoff. Like this is where I feel like it is quite nuanced because I've talked a lot about like making sure that you're putting effort in the right places, doing like the bare minimum that you can. And like, yes, that is true, especially when it comes to weight loss, because weight loss, like I said, it's just a means to an end. It's a means to something greater. It's feeling more confident. It's having more health. It's living longer. So the more that you can like get that out of the way, the more that you can put that on autopilot where you don't have to think about it, the less effort that it is, the more that you can use your limited resources, which is the effort, the time, the focus that you have, that you can use them for more important things. Because if all of your effort is going towards, well, what do I cook for dinner? Then you're probably not going to be able to, and then you cook something elaborate and you have to spend a ton of time cleaning up. Then what are you actually sacrificing by making that choice? A lot. Could you have gone for a walk? Could you have done a workout? Could you have spent more time with your kids? Most likely. So this is where it's important for us to understand that we want to be people that put in effort. We want to be people that put in effort in the right places. But putting in effort is an inherently good, or being able to put in effort is something that is going to be inherently good for us. Hopefully that all makes sense. In terms of who you want to become, you're going to need to be someone who exerts a significant amount of effort. So when it comes to looking at where to apply it, look for leverage points. Work smart and not hard. And so when I say leverage points, we're talking about ways of making your actions routine so that you can put your effort towards doing something better and doing something that is going to get you better results. So this is, again, this is comes back to doing, getting the absolute most that you possibly can out of that. You're squeezing all the juice out of that effort. So when we come back and you think about, well, what's the first stage? In the first stage, when you're trying to build a habit, just getting out the door, that's going to require so much effort. And the payoff for that is huge. That is an extremely leveraged activity because you're becoming an action taker. You're building trust in yourself. You're going to need that. That's a foundation of every other habit. On the surface, it doesn't really look like it's hugely leveraged, because if you are just to get out the door and you don't actually go for the run, you're not actually going to become fitter. But on a deeper level, on a longer timeline, you go, well, that is the necessary first step. So it actually is a really, really leveraged activity. But if you continue to just do that and you're used to getting out the door and then you don't actually go and put on your running shoes and actually go for a run and then progress and then learn from people, if you really want to be an exceptional runner, at some point you've got to do more than get out the door. So the first step in terms of leverage is creating routine, creating repetition, doing things on a consistent basis so that you don't have to think about it. Because you don't, once you get out the door, once that's no longer an obstacle, once the barrier to that is really low, then you can focus your efforts on other things. You don't want to be focusing your efforts on getting out the door. Does that make sense? That's a very rudimental amount of focus that you want to get past that as fast as you can. And so this is where I'm saying, like, make your weight loss the absolute easiest it possibly can be so that you can put your effort towards focusing and doing the things that are actually going to require more effort. We don't want things to require more effort than they should. Any kind of obstacles that are going to get in the way of actually doing something, taking action, we want to eliminate them as much as possible. This is all about working smarter, not harder. So routine helps doing that because it allows you to put in your reps. Removing distractions is another one. This is things like putting blockers on your phone. That's an extremely leveraged activity because what's it doing? It's allowing you to focus on the things that are actually going to produce you better results. Because if you want to have phenomenal results and you're putting all your effort towards just not looking at your phone and you actually want to create an amazing YouTube video, then you're not putting your efforts towards creating an amazing YouTube video. You're putting your efforts towards not being distracted on Instagram. Me. I'm talking about me here. So removing distractions allows you to put focus and effort in the right kind of places. Saying no is another really, really important one. The more that we say no to, let's look at it this way. Every single thing we say no to, we're saying yes to something else. Or everything we say yes to, we're saying no to something else. Every time you say yes to, bring that cake over. Yes, my kid can have that new toy. Yes, I am going to bring in chocolate chip cookies to my house. Yes, I am going to take on that other responsibility. Yes, I'm going to make more of a complicated meal. I'm saying yes to doing more dishes. Like every single thing, or I'm saying no to more time. Like everything has this almost like yin yang, it's not equal and opposite, but there is some kind of sacrifice that is associated with every yes, and there is some kind of payoff that is associated with every no. So if you can say no to complexity in your diet, if you can say no to buying another recipe book, if you can say no to what goes into your trolley, then you are making it easier for yourself to succeed. That is a highly leveraged way of putting in effort. Because you're not going to have to put so much effort into saying no again and again and again when the food is actually in your house if you said no to it when it was about to go into your trolley. Other things are learning a new skill set. Learning a new skill set is one of the most uncomfortable things that there is, but it's a highly leveraged activity. It does require exceptional amounts of effort, and it's going to be extremely uncomfortable. But when you do create a new skill set, it means that you have the ability to do something better with less effort, which means that you can focus your effort onto doing something that is better, that you can build your skill set. Because we're talking about exceptional results. That's another thing that I really want to point out here, is that this is for people who do want to have exceptional results. If we come back to that podcast analogy, it doesn't take much to actually rise above. It doesn't take much to go beyond mediocre. It really doesn't. It doesn't take much to go beyond normal. If you are even mildly healthy, if you go and do a walk every day, if you go to the gym two, three times a week and you do a mediocre kind of workout, you will be above 90% of people. You will absolutely surpass most people simply by saying no to a few things and saying yes to a few others. It does not take much. Think about that podcast. If you do three podcast episodes, you are an elite podcaster if you do 25. It does not take much. But when you look at exceptional results, they are going to require more effort than that. There is a huge difference. There's this monumental leap between being someone who has a podcast and who has done 25 podcasts and then someone who has done hundreds and hundreds of podcasts, and not only has done hundreds and hundreds of podcasts, but also has hundreds of thousands of people who listen to that. There is a monumental leap between both of those things. So it's almost like once we take that first step, there's so much effort in just taking that first step, but then we want to keep pushing it if you want to get to that next level. And if you do want to get to that next level, just be aware what it's going to require. That it is going to require effort and sacrifice. That people who are running marathons, that people have a six-pack abs, people who look a certain way, people that you look up to and admire on social media, they have put in so much more to get there than what we see. And if you don't want to be there, that's fine. That's totally fine. But if you do, reset your expectation of how much it's going to take from you. And that's okay. The final leverage point in terms of creating or doing something that is going to require a whole lot of effort is review. But it is one of the most leveraged things that you can do is review your progress and review what's working and what's not. And I hate review so flippin' much because it's so boring. Review is like stretching. There's like nothing that you actually gain in the moment. Everything that you're doing is preparing for the next time you do it. It's like that last little bit where it's almost like doing the dishes. But what review does is it allows you to see what's working and what's not. So it allows you to put effort into better places and to not spend effort on things that aren't working. So this is all about going like, I'm still going to spend effort, but I'm going to do it smarter. And so people who review, or people that are super successful, are reviewers. They're people who they look at their budget, they track their weights, they look at what's been working for them. What we do in Lean with Plants is we do reviews, we take pictures of meals and things like that. So you can look back, and there's just always some kind of process of going, well, hey, this worked, this didn't. It can be as simple as going, hey, I went to this event and I ended up eating cheesecake. And I didn't want to, but it was vegan, it was super delicious, and why did I do that? Well, let's have a look, let's review, what happened? Did I have food with me? No. Okay, was I upset? Yes. Okay, so there's emotion there. Just going through that process and analyzing it, being someone who self-analyzes, not someone who is like, oh, poor me, I'm a failure. That's easy. Being self-deprecating, being someone who's like, oh, poor me, I mucked up. Wah, that's easy. That doesn't require effort for most of us. It feels uncomfortable. It feels horrible, but we do it very well because we've practiced it many, many times. Do you know what actually requires effort for most of us? Not being so emotionally driven and being like, okay, let me just have like a look at this, a deep dive, being honest, even when it is uncomfortable. That's challenging for me. And I've been doing more reviews of different things because I'm recognizing this as well. And then lastly is getting help so that you can learn from mistakes of others. I have in my wall fail faster. And I believe this 100% that we have to be okay with making mistakes because mistakes are a part of learning. In saying that, getting help means that we can learn from the mistakes of others. This is one of the only ways that we rise above simple trial and error because you do not have the time to trial and error every single thing. We have to have a place to start and we have to have help if we want to be going beyond just learning everything from scratch. There's just not enough time. And so the more help that you can get in that, the more that you can learn and that you can have tutorage on working towards something that is going to, that you're going to be able to put effort into the right places, the better results that you're going to have and the faster you're going to get there. It's something like as simple as if you're trying to, I had a running coach and I mean, I can go out and run and I can just run and I will get fitter to a certain point. But at some point, if I really want to get faster and I just do my own thing, like I may or may not get there. But if I have someone who is like, hey, like this is what you, these are the exercises you need to do. You need to get stronger here. You need to practice doing hill sprints. You need to do this. These are all the things that we've tried and tested with hundreds of people and we've worked and we've researched and we know actually work. You're going to actually be able to achieve those results really, really fast. And your effort is going to feel worth it because you're actually getting somewhere. So effort and applying that effort in the right areas is super important. And we only can do that if we learn from others, because we just simply don't have time to learn just from trial and error. And I just put this one little thing here, which was definition of stupidity, which is getting the same thing, or doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We all know that. But what I've written is working super hard for no results is really dumb. It's pretty silly to be working super hard for absolutely no results ever. This is normally when we just don't know where to apply effort. This is normally the case. So that's a whole matter of course correcting. But you know what is amazing? Working super hard and then getting an amazing payoff. There is almost nothing that feels that good. It doesn't take much to rise above and to drastically change your life from where it is now. It really doesn't. It's going to require a few different things. That may feel, though, like the most difficult thing in the world. And this is the case. Like this is the real part of this, that I can sit here and I can go, oh, all you have to do is do 3 podcast episodes and then you're in the top percent of podcasters. It's really hard to do 1 episode. It's really damn hard. And it's the same with weight loss. I can be like, oh, all you have to do is eat low calorie density, eat a pound of broccoli, blah, blah, blah. If you've never dieted before and you eat cake every day, that's really, really, really hard. But you can do it. You are capable. You are capable of doing hard things. You are capable of so much more. All of us, we are so much more capable than what we realize. We just have this. We just have to really get past this idea that doing things that are difficult is such a big deal. Like, what if it wasn't such a big deal and instead we're like, you know what, it's just part of the process. If we reset our expectation, if we have an expectation that anything that is worth having is going to be tough, there is going to be sacrifice, and then we're just like, you know what, I'm going to make it as easy as possible for myself to actually do it in the beginning so that I do it and I start to build that mental muscle, imagine what we could achieve. So takeaways from this is the biggest one is just resetting expectations, not selling yourself short with how you talk to yourself, understanding that if we really want to get something phenomenal, it's going to require a phenomenal amount of effort, not a nominal amount. It is going to require a lot for a long period of time. That's just part of it. If we want to keep growing, we're going to have to keep pushing. In those moments that you can't push, well, you still should. Still push. Still do it. That just might look a lot like the result might be a whole lot smaller, like walking in the door of the gym as opposed to doing a killer workout, eating 1 broccoli with your pizza as opposed to giving up. Keep going. Keep being the hero of your story. You are capable of exceptional things. You are capable of great effort. And I believe in you and believe in you. And you will believe in yourself as well when you start actually putting this into practice through tiny habits. So I'm going to leave that there. I hope that you found some of this helpful. I hope there's been something that you can take away. If you did, I'd love it if you could give me a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps get the message out to more people. And also, if you are needing more help on knowing where to put effort and you want some tutorage and guidance in that journey to stay accountable, then please hop on a call with our team, a strategy call, so that we can start to set some goals and see where to apply that effort completely free and how we can help you. So you can see the information of that in the description. All right, I'll see you next week for another episode. Bye.